Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Good morning and you're welcome to the programme. Simon Coveney, Minister for Enterprise, Trade and Employment, joins us now from our Cork studio. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Claire. Thanks for having me on.
Not at all. You're very welcome to the programme. Now, you've made a big decision and you're announcing that decision this morning, Minister. Tell us about it.
Yeah, so look, I spoke to Simon Harris, the new leader of Fine Gael, last night, and I've spoken to Simon a number of times in the last week, what I said to him last night was that I wouldn't be putting my name forward for consideration for cabinet next week, and that I respected the fact that, you know, he's made it clear that he wants to create a new look Fine Gael in many ways, to promote new talent in the party. I know he was struggling with the decision in relation to who'd be in and who'd be out, and I think that for me, having been in the cabinet, which has been an amazing experience for 13 years, which is a lot more than most politicians have the privilege of having in cabinet. I felt that it was the time was right, both from his point of view and from mine, to give him the space to create new opportunity in the party, in government. Mm. And he thanked me and respected that.
What did he say? Can you give us more detail on that? Because it sounds, in a way, from what you've said there, that you felt that he wanted you out.
No, I don't think so. I think, look, you know, one of the most difficult things, actually, as an incoming party leader and incoming Taoiseach, is to form a team that can slot into government well, particularly in an election year. And I totally respect that. That's a really difficult decision for Simon. He's going to be the youngest Taoiseach ever. He's a really talented person. I think he'll want to bring forward new ideas and new energy in the party. And I think he'll want to bring a team with him to do that. And, you know, I think for me, I don't know whether he was going to ask me to be in cabinet as part of that team or not. I know he was weighing that up, and we spoke about that both last week and again this week. But I think it makes life easier for him. And I think it's also, you know, a recognition by me too that Fine Gael needs renewal. You know, we're going to go into the next general election hoping to be in government for a fourth term. And I think a party needs to find a way of renewing itself, refreshing itself, bringing forward new faces, new voices, new ideas. In many ways, when Leo Varadkar decided to step down a couple of weeks ago, he started that process. And obviously, my initial reaction to that was to steady the ship, if you like, to work within the party to make sure that we could manage a transition to a new leader quickly and efficiently and professionally, because the country needs that right now. But I've had a chance really to think about it from a personal point of view over Easter with my family. And for me, you know, as I say, I've had an amazing 13 years at the centre of government. And I think we've got lots of ambitious talent in the party, and I'm going to now make it a bit easier. It may have happened anyway, I don't know. Mm-hmm. But I make it a bit easier for Simon to promote that talent now.
Well, since Leo Varadkar announced that decision, there has been a lot of commentary that you were going to be sidelined. Where do you think that came from?
Claire, look, you know, I don't know. I mean, like, when there's a leadership change in the party, there's always jockeying for position. Mm-hmm. So, you know, people who are ambitious will want to try to create space for themselves, and they'll talk to journalists and create stories and narratives. You know, that's normal politics.
It's hurtful, though, isn't it? I mean, it has to be hurtful. I mean, you've said yourself, you've given 13 years to cabinet.
No, look, I mean, I'm I'm positive about this, I have to say. You know, initially when Leo rang me the night before, he stepped down and said that he'd made a decision that that he was going to, you know, step down from being Taoiseach and party leader. I think that took a lot of people by surprise, including me. But it has started a train of events that I think can be positive for Fine Gael. It's a new opportunity. It's an exciting opportunity. And, you know, I think we're a party like any other that needs to renew all the time. And, you know, it's the same in sport, it's the same in business, it's the same in politics. Mm-hmm. When you've been effectively at the helm for a long period of time, when there's significant change created, which is what Leo has done, then I think everybody needs to reflect on their own position and how they fit into future plans.
And you say Leo phoned you the night before, so he told the other party leaders, then he called you, and then the other cabinet members found out the next day.
That's right, yeah. Well, I mean, I am, you know, I am the deputy leader of the party.
Yeah.
You know, I've worked very closely with Leo through, you know, many years of difficult decisions and mm-hmm. so on. You know, we've become close in terms of our professional relationship. And so, you know, it wasn't a surprise that he'd call me the night before.
And was it a surprise to you that he was doing what he was doing? I mean, had you noticed that he'd lost interest in the fight, in the role of being Taoiseach and leader of the party?
Well, I mean, you know, I had spoken to Leo on various occasions about the future of the party and so on. I certainly hadn't expected him to step down when he did. But look, you know, I mean, my private conversations with Leo will remain private. But mm-hmm. but I was surprised at the timing of it. But you know, I respected that decision. He's given extraordinary service to Ireland, both as a leader of Fine Gael and, more importantly, as Taoiseach. And he felt that, that you know, his energy levels and his leadership of the party had reached an end. And he wanted to provide an opportunity for somebody else to lead through the election cycle that we're heading for now. My reasons are a little different. You know, I've got loads of energy at the moment. I'm as energised by politics as I've always been.
Which makes me wonder, did you feel you didn't have a choice?
No, look, I think, you know, I think sometimes you're confronted with choices in life. And, you know, I don't want to be too like reflective here on national radio, but, you know, for me, this was, you know, we've had in many ways within Fine Gael a political earthquake over the last 2 weeks. And now that we have a new leader in charge, he's finding his feet. He's looking to appoint a new team around him that can give leadership for the country and government, can work with Fianna Fáil and the Greens, and can bring others in the Dáil with them too. I think, you know, and I spent quite a bit of time thinking about that over the weekend as to what my role in that process is and will be. And I remain absolutely committed to Fine Gael. I support Simon Harris, absolutely. But I think it's time for me to give him an opportunity and the party an opportunity mm-hmm. to promote talent so that the public can see Fine Gael as a party that is full of energy and ideas into an election cycle.
Given that you say you still have your political energy, it sounds like you would have been willing to serve if you had seen that there was an opportunity there. So Simon Harris didn't give you an indication that you would be part of his cabinet team.
I know. I mean, he did, but he hadn't made any decisions on that. I mean, he has loads of things to weigh up, from geography to experience to promoting new talent in the party. All of those things are, you know, considerations that he's been weighing up. And of course, that's what he needs to do. Any party leader needs to do that when they're in government. But I felt that that making the decision that I made over the weekend and letting Simon know last night was the right thing to do. It gives him, I think, more space now next week. And I'm happy with that decision. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean I'm out of energy or anything like that. Okay. I'm actually not.
And you've said previously that you're going to run again. Is that still your intention?
Well, look, I mean, you know, to be honest, that's really not for this week. You know, I'm a committed TD for Cork South Central. I intend on continuing to be that for the foreseeable future. But look, I'll talk to my own team and my constituency and our councillors, over the summer. And
that's really not a yes.
Well, it's not a yes or it's not a no. It's me just being honest about it. Mm-hmm. I have to decide now what the future is for me and how I can contribute. That's something I'm not going to rush. It's something, to be honest, I hadn't even thought about really, because I've been so focused and busy on the various different jobs that I've been so lucky to have. Now I'm going to have a little bit more time to focus on my constituency and our candidates that are running for local elections and for the European elections too. And I'll put a bit of thought into that over the next few months, but I'm not going to rush it this week.
Okay, we've had Pascal Donoghue in here last week giving no indication that he's going to make a similar decision. I mean, the logic would be the same given what you've told us this morning, that, you know, if someone like him or others who have been at Cabinet for a long time really wanted to give Simon Harris an opportunity to refresh, that they might stand back too. Do you think that would be the right thing for people who are in the same position as you to do?
No, certainly not in Pascal's position. I mean, I think Pascal has been arguably the most successful finance minister that this country's ever had. And I don't say that lightly. I think he's done an extraordinary job through very, very turbulent and difficult years for Ireland, and I think he's a huge asset for Simon to use, and I hope Pascal's in the cabinet for the country's sake, I have to say. People have talked about, you know, Pascal needing to stay in the cabinet because he's president of the Eurozone countries. I mean, that to me is important, but a kind of a sideshow. The real reason why Pascal Donoghue needs to be in the cabinet is that he's an extremely talented and experienced finance minister, and working with Michael McGrath, they have another budget to deliver, and it's a very important budget for the country. So, no, I think. By the way, you know, I've also, like, I'm in a slightly different position to Pascal because I've been in cabinet for longer than he has. You know, myself and Leo have been in cabinet since 2011. It's a long time, 13 years. So I don't think he's in the same position that I'm in, I think Pascal is a really valuable asset to any government.
Mm-hmm. Just looking at what happened then when Leo Varadkar made the announcement that he was leaving, and did you ever consider at that point that you might go for the leadership, or did you put that ambition to bed back in 2017 when you and he had the competition for the job at that time?
I got an adrenaline rush, I think, like anybody would, when Leo decided to step down, and I think everybody within the party thought about what the future was going to hold. But look, you know, I made a decision with my family a number of years ago. You know, I said that, I think, the day after Leo stepped down, that I wouldn't be putting myself forward for the leadership of the party again. To be honest, that was a family personal decision. You know, I've got three daughters that are entering their teenage years, and for me, I had a go at the leadership in terms of a contest with Leo, I was very lucky to be the deputy leader of the party, to be Taoiseach for a number of years, and to be right at the centre of decision making in government for many years.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that for me was the most rewarding job I could ever have had in politics. And so, you know, I've no regrets on that. And as I said, I'm at peace with that decision.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned your family there, and we've heard about the toxicity of politics, certainly in recent years. I mean, someone who's been at it for as long as you have been, is it just too much now?
No, I mean, you know, I would say to anybody that a career in politics is something that anyone who's motivated by wanting to be part of running a country, either locally or nationally, should be part of. You know, if talented, good, positive people don't stand for politics, well then, you know, standards fall, and you know, others take over politics that perhaps don't have the same positive approach towards the kind of country we want to create. So, for me, it's been like, I've been in politics for 26 years, since the age of 25. I entered politics under a sort of a sad cloud, if you like, in a by-election. But since then, I've never regretted entering politics. It's been a fascinating life for me, hugely rewarding. And as I say, I'm still energised by it. And the fact that people have decided to elect me over and over again is an enormous privilege that, that for me, you know, I want other people to experience. Just like I want talent within Fine Gael now to experience what it's like to be in government, to be in cabinet.
And
I think they'll thrive in that environment.
You mentioned at the start this need for Fine Gael to refocus. And we've heard about core values, about law and order, business, about farming, and this pushback against the so-called woke agenda, and the hate crime legislation is mentioned in that context. Does all of that make sense to you as something that needs to happen?
Well, I think in an election year, you know, parties will always look to define why they believe people should trust them, should vote for them, support them. And I think so, you know, I think Fine Gael under Simon Harris's leadership now is really going to focus on how we connect with the electorate, how we bring back people who were voting for Fine Gael in the past, who may not be supporting Fine Gael today. And so, you know, in many ways, I think the party will turn to its core values and core value in terms of what it brings to Irish politics. And undoubtedly, law and order, thriving rural communities, supporting farming families, supporting enterprise, job creation, wealth creation, making sure that everybody has an opportunity through education and healthcare provision to be the best that they can be. That's all about Fine Gael. We bring to politics.
And that is
others
the,
bring
the,
something
the,
different.
The Declan Costello Just Society, and you know, you've always had a different vision of Fine Gael than some of your fellow party members. You were very much in the Declan Costello mould.
Yeah,
are you saying that the party has shifted too far from those values?
No, I mean, for me, Fine Gael is a party for everybody. You know, like, I don't believe that a party like Fine Gael should be a niche party that just targets one sector of the electorate. I've never believed that. Everybody should feel that, you know, the party I represent can represent them and can fight for them and for their future. And, you know, that goes for the most successful business people, and it goes for the people who have really had big challenges in their lives.
Mm-hmm. So not just for the people who get up early in the morning.
It's for everybody, you know. For me, unfortunately, we're seeing this right across Europe and right across the world, by the way. Political leaders and parties are building support and loyalty by dividing societies. You know, we're seeing that in Ireland too, where people are only claiming to represent certain communities and certain types of people. Fine Gael needs to be a party that unifies society, that brings people together and reaches out to everybody. And, you know, sometimes we haven't managed to do that as well as I'd like. But that is, in my view, what our party should be about. From new Irish migrants wanting to have a voice in Ireland, to farmers, to fishermen, to business people, to people who are on social welfare are looking to gain social housing, or people want to buy their first homes. All these people, in my view, are people that our party wants to connect with. And I certainly hope under Simon Harris's leadership we'll be able to do that effectively.
Okay. People might remember back at the end of the latest Fianna Fáil era, if you like, in 2011, it was Fine Gael who said this party is jaded, it's out of touch, it has been in power for too long. I mean, the same criticism now is being levelled at Fine Gael, and maybe in some part you would accept that.
Well, I don't think Fine Gael is in any way jaded, I have to say. But
11 now have said they're not going to run, at least in the next election. And they're young people who would have one or two terms left if they decided to keep going.
Well, some of them are. Some of them aren't. You know, some of them would be into their 80s by the time.
Joe McHugh, Josefa Madigan, Kieran Cannon, all of these people.
No,
maybe yourself.
I hear you. But, you know, what I'd say is that, you know, I think turnover and renewal in a party is a good thing, not a bad thing. Like, nobody owns a seat or has any right to sit on a Dáil seat in their constituency forever. We're a party that wants to encourage competition within constituencies. You know, if people have given, you know, a number of decades or a number of terms to politics and they feel they want to do something else in life, that's a good thing, you know, because it opens up new space for new people. You know, I look at my own constituency and I look at, you know, talented new councillors emerging, some of them, some candidates running for the first time who I believe have the capacity to potentially be TDs in the future. That's what a party should be about, renewal, rather than trying to have the same faces there forever. And like, I'm conscious of that. That's one of the reasons why I'm making, you know, the decision I'm making mm-hmm. now. You know,
I suppose what I'm trying to get at, Minister, is what you feel is wrong with Fine Gael now, because you've talked about going back to the party's roots and you talk about renewal and fresh faces. So what is the problem with Fine Gael now?
Well, I mean, I think there's a lot right with Fine Gael, first of all. You know, so, you know, the country is in quite a good state. Yes, we have challenges, particularly in healthcare and in housing. Huge pressures on people. We know that. We need to do more for families and individuals that have a disability and so on.
But their Fianna Fáil's portfolios. I'm really interested in knowing what you see are the problems with your party now, because you've identified, you know, what needs to happen. I'm just wondering how you got to that point.
No, well, I don't think it's a problem when a party is looking to promote talented people in the party that haven't had an opportunity to be in cabinet before. That's not a problem. That's simply, you know, a party that's making decisions to renew and change and refresh. And all of those things are happening in the party now under Simon's leadership. And I wish him well with that. I want to contribute to that and to work with him, which is why I've spoken to him a number of times, as I say, in the last week or so, and came to the decision I came to over the weekend. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think Fine Gael is in good shape. I think the fact that Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil and the Greens have worked as well as we have in government together means that we have a really good chance of getting this government re-elected. That's not to say that everything's perfect. We have a lot of work to do in many areas. But for me, if you compare Ireland to many other countries in the world, in terms of quality of life, in terms of opportunities for jobs, in terms of quality of education, in terms of life expectancy and indeed healthcare provision, even though it's not perfect, we compare very, very well on almost every level. And that is because, the country, in my view, by and large, has made the right decisions from a policy point of view over the last 13 years or so.
You wouldn't have found it hard to work with Simon Harris, I mean, because you've held much more senior roles than he over the years. Would that have been an issue for you at all?
No, not at all. You know, I have worked with Simon, by the way, on lots of things. You know, him as Minister for Higher Education, me as Minister for Enterprise. You know, we've been working on a number of projects together.
Mm. Different though when he's your boss, right?
Yeah, and you know, he is my boss, and I totally accept that and wish him well. You know, he put himself forward to be leader of the party. He was unopposed. He ran a really good campaign, and he's kept the party unified through that process, which isn't easy, by the way. You know, when there's leadership change in big political parties like Fine Gael, often that leads to division. And I've tried to ensure that that hasn't happened this time, just like I tried to make sure it didn't happen after Leo became leader. And, you know, a party that is unified is stronger. And we need to be that way now going into this election cycle.
OK, well, Simon, we'll leave it there. That's probably the last time we'll speak with you as minister. So thank you very much.
Well, it's the last time we'll speak probably with me as minister, but I hope it's not the last time we'll speak, Claire.
Hopefully not.
I will have plenty to say, I can assure you, in the months ahead about all sorts of things.
Well, thank you very much for joining us on the programme. And we do wish you well. That's the Minister for Enterprise, Trade and Employment, Simon Coveney, joining us from our Cork studio. We'll take a break.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.